I'll just welcome everyone to tonight's PPS Success Mentor Teleclass. Many of you may recognize my voice by now, but for those of you just joining us for the first time, my name is James Phelps, and in addition to being your host for tonight's call, I'm the PPS Success Educational Coordinator. And tonight, we're very fortunate to have with us once again PPS Success Mentor Chris Timpert, who will be talking to us about self-awareness, judgment, and compassion. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with Chris, she's trained with Paul Check and is both a Check Level 4 and Holistic Life Coach, Lifestyle Coach Level 3, as well as a PPS Success Mastery Practitioner. As an accomplished holistic coach and fitness professional, Chris guides her clients through their challenges in order to facilitate their passage into freedom and happiness. I can't say how grateful I am to that we have Chris with us as a mentor and that she's offering her mentor teleclasses. Having been with PPS since its beginning, I can say with confidence that the topics that she'll discuss tonight and the related issues she's discussed in previous teleclasses are inevitably at the root of most challenges that people run into when they're trying to live their legacy. So I'm excited because I think Chris's teleclasses always cover what I consider to be the essentials. So one last thing before we begin, I just want to remind everybody that we do record these calls. So if you happen to be in a high traffic area or you're on a cell phone that you know can pick up echo effects or something, I recommend that you mute your line until you have a question or you want to join in the conversation by pressing *6. And then if you want to join in the conversation, you can unmute your phone at any time by pressing any button on your phone pad. So with all of that stuff out of the way, welcome, Chris. It's great to have you with us again.
Thank you. Thank you so much, James. I so appreciate those words. I also just want to offer that, you know, now, I mean, I spent years at the Holistic Institute in New York, and now I also offer as a certified intuitive consultant, you know, as I do these free calls, if I get folks that like to interact and share with me, you know, now that I have a formula for using my psychic abilities, I may be able to help guide them personally as well in that regard, as well as their questions about the topic at hand.
Great.
So anyway, but, you know, so I'd like, and you know how much I really enjoy interaction. So I'll start with what I'd like to talk about and just invite anyone to please speak up at any time. And James, please, if you want to chat, it's when questions come out, that's when things really blossom. So, but again, the call tonight is really a lot about compassion and the awareness and consciousness. And you know, it's so interesting. The reality for me is that every human being on this planet is suffering and is in a misery to either a greater or lesser degree, all because they've lost self. And it's a natural thing that happens for humans. The purpose is to grow through pain and suffering in order to know that who you are and to find bliss and happiness. Because for me, there's really only one true joy, and that is knowing self. Everything else is just a different degree of misery trying to find yourself in everything outside yourself. So we're all doing that. We either do it, you know, accumulating money. We do it accumulating, you know, like somebody like myself who grew up being told that I didn't matter. So I've been an overachiever and, you know, I've gone through my life, oh, look what I've done. I've done this and that and, you know, used my achievements to let everybody know how important I was. And people use it by attaching to relationships and or whatever. You know, it's just a cycle that we're all growing through. So the people that come to a program like PPS or, you know, find a mentor are the ones that are just, honest to God, they're just in a place where they recognize their emptiness and they want to find out how to get a better grip on how to take control of their life. So compassion is like a great place to start. And, you know, I just had a conversation with my son tonight about the very topic. You know, he's trying to understand what compassion is. And, you know, it's we're so funny as humans because, you know, like I asked my son, I said, when you see a guy in a red Ferrari driving down the road in designer clothes, do you have any compassion for him? And he's like, no. He's got everything. It's kind of funny. You know, and if you see a homeless person down at the end of the street, most people just think, God, I wish they could get those people off the street and find a place to put them. You know, I really don't like having to look at that. You know, compassion is pretty hard-pressed to find these days, unless, of course, you hear about a child that dies and or something like that. But the real compassion we need to find, for me anyway, is a compassion with ourselves. And the more we start figuring out who we are, we stop blaming other people for making our life miserable, or blaming our neighbor for making our life uncomfortable, or, you know, et cetera, or so on, hating our boss, our mother-in-law, or our ex-lover who made us feel like we were garbage. So compassion, again, it's basically the beginning of that process. And a great way to start doing that is by recognizing how you judge other people. And we all do it. Anywhere you go, if you walk into a mall, as soon as you start looking at people in the mall, you're automatically judging them. It's just a natural thing that the mind does. You know, that person's old, that person's fat, that person's cute, whatever. And in the process, you're saying, oh, I'm better than that one, or, oh, that one makes me feel less than that person. And for our job, really, the beginning of the healing process, and I've heard Paul say this a zillion times, is just the awareness that you're doing it, to just become aware that you're judging other people. And then, you know, when you get good at observing yourself doing that, observing how you feel when you're around other people, you know, if people are making you angry, people are making you feel irritated or depressed, whatever it is, the more aware you become, the more you start saying to yourself, well, why does that person, what is it about that person that makes me feel that I'm not enough? You know, why does that guy over there in that red Ferrari make me angry? And it really has nothing to do with the guy in the red Ferrari. That's when you start to discover that, well, there's a part of you that doesn't feel that you're enough, or there's a part of you that feels that you don't have your share and you deserve more. So you're really not angry at that guy. You're really just angry, you know, at that part of you. So in this awareness is how then we start to, you know, this is why mentors are so important. And I just got back from a 4-day intensive myself, and, you know, I'm still doing the exact same thing. I mean, I'm finding pieces of myself. In fact, I will share that I had the most amazing discovery for myself. You know, I've been healing and doing this process for years, and anybody that knows me knows there's a piece of me that's very intimidating, and Paul's always referred to it as fire or whatever. Mm-hmm. And as much as I try to manage it, you know, it's always present. And in this healing process for myself, somebody did a muscle test on me and asked me what happened to me when I was 17. And when I was 17, I had a very significant traumatic event, and I really had forgotten about it. And it's kind of comical because as I was sharing the event with my mentor, I started to cry and I started to revisit those places, and it became incredibly emotional. And what I like to advise my clients, when you get to that place inside yourself, we have to learn to reparent ourselves, because of course there's nobody out there that can like make me feel better. You know, you can't bring my parents back from the dead and ask them to resolve that issue or whatever it is. So we learn to parent ourselves. And the interesting thing for me was that in that moment, my mentor said to me, now, what would you say to your 17-year-old girl today, now as your grown-up self? And when I tried to talk to my 17-year-old, she basically told me, you know, to go screw myself, which was very comical because it was like a part of me that would not talk to another part of me. I hope that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So the mentor actually had to help guide me into a way where I could talk to this part of myself. And it was the most, and I realized that this anger was really a lot of, for myself, was a lot of my own fire and my own, the reason why I would intimidate people to say, look how important I am, look how much I matter. So I'm just sharing that because this is how the process has to work. I mean, for me, this is just how we have to get to a place of compassion. And there's like no other way around it. You're either living your life every day distracting by being, you know, going to your lover, going to your job, identifying yourself with what you do, or being busy with vacations, or wrapping yourself up with your family and just denying it and covering up the emptiness inside you. Just, you know, like the book The Secret, and a lot of these law of attraction people that are out there lecturing, and they tell you, you know, forget about all that. Just put on a happy face and move on with your life, and let's think positive thoughts, because thoughts are powerful, and those positive thoughts will, you know, bring you positive things. But, you know, when you got a corpse in your house and you cover it up with a blanket, you know, it's just not going away. You can have a party and do whatever you want to make your house better, light candles or whatever else, but I promise you, you know, it's going to stink in time. The negative will find a way out. The negative will come through. So when we embrace the negative, when we embrace the suffering of our emptiness by being brave enough to unzip ourselves emotionally and expose our vulnerabilities, you know, we go back to these places and we realize, you know, my goodness, I mean, you know, I was just a kid when that happened, and that had nothing to do with me. And then we repair on ourselves by saying, well, you know, I'm never gonna let you feel that way again, and now you have me, and I'm going to watch out for you. And then we heal that little piece. And you know, the more we do that, then when you run into somebody, like, for example, you know, in the past, I'd run into somebody that was achieved a great deal. And when they would be proud of it, I would be offended. And I'd think, well, you know, the hell with that person. They think they're so cool. But really all I was ever seeing was myself, because I was so empty in myself that I was only getting angry because, you know, I felt the exact same way. But when you heal that part of you and then you see that in another person, all you say to yourself is, wow, you know, to the degree that person is projecting out how important they are, it's really how empty they are on the inside. And we don't try to save people like that. You just recognize that they're in that place of growing, and it's necessary. And, you know, we're all of our lives are like everything that's coming for us is so intended. And without our suffering, without our being brave enough to go back to these places to find compassion for ourselves, we'll never know what love is, or what it feels like to actually be happy. But the more compassion you grow for yourself, the more you see it in everybody else. And honest to God, in my opinion, I think compassion is just a word for complete and total enlightenment and consciousness. Because when there's compassion for everyone, no matter what, I mean, that means compassion even if you're sitting in a room and there's nobody around. You don't have to be, you know, two cars away from a fatal car accident. You just to be constant compassion and know that everybody in this on this planet is in the same place. Everybody is trying to move to a place to find self. Some of us take longer than others, and it's real easy to, like, condemn other people and call them arrogant or call them stupid or call them cheats or losers or whatever. But the reality is every judgment we make is we're really just talking about ourselves. And I have to also take it the other way as well. You know, if a lot of us are, you know, we either move toward being pathetic or arrogant. That's just the ego works in those two modes. But when we become pathetic, it's so funny. We'll judge other people the other way. We'll say, wow, you know, that person, gee, they're really good looking and they have so much money, or that guy is so smart and so talented. And what we don't realize is we're still talking about ourselves. We're still talking about the part of ourselves that we experience in that person. And I use an example. My brother's an engineer, and he builds machines. He designs machines for car companies that manufacture car parts, and then he builds them. He's crazy intelligent. See, I talk about myself. Anyway, I'll use a micrometer, and I'll show somebody that piece, and I'll ask them, well, tell me what that is. And a lot of people have never seen anything like that before. So they say, I have no idea what that is. And I'll say, that's right, because you've never seen it before. So when you call another person arrogant or another person stupid or another person beautiful, you're only seeing it because you know it inside yourself. So this is why I say we use people as a way to discover ourselves. Everybody's a mirror. Everybody you meet is bringing yourself to you. And you know, it's amazing. They say that the people that you fall deeply, deeply in love with, that break your heart are the ones that come into your life to align you with yourself. A lot of times they'll bring you everything about the shadow side of yourself that you don't recognize. And they'll behave a certain way or treat you in a certain way that at some point ends up to be hurtful. And you learn by being compassionate with yourself that all those things you experienced were really inside you all along and had nothing to do with that other person. It was kind of how you experienced yourself about them, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I've gone off. I'm talking about a whole lot, and I'm curious if there's any questions.
Well, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, and what you're saying makes a lot of sense, that, you know, how did you come to really get to the point where you were realizing that people were mirroring this back to you and that you could use that, you know, because I can imagine, you know, and for me it is too, or was initially too, a little bit of a shock to realize you're seeing that in other people. So you get to this, it seems like you go sort of move through state, or one, I should say, not you specific, but one might go through these kind of stages, right, where first you finally come to see that this is, you know, that people can mirror yourself back to you. And then two, you kind of have to go through this process of being able to, you know, move through what they're mirroring back to you. And how, I mean, did you sort of, does that seem like a process that you went through? Does that sound right?
James, that's very intelligent what you just said. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Yet, you know what I did? I like I said, I was someone that, I mean, I have had so many things happen in my life that I, honest to God, got to a place where I just realized that I was suffering. I was so unhappy and so empty. So what did I do? I reached out. Mm-hmm. I reached out to Paul Check. I reached out to the Check Institute. I started the PPS program. Mm-hmm. But you don't grow in the PPS program yourself. It's not like you don't walk out in your backyard and you know, pick up a textbook and sit down and figure it all out. You go to somebody that read the book already. You go to people that have grown past a certain place and you say, hey, you know what, I'm really confused. And I don't understand why all these people are treating me this way. I don't understand why people, you know, don't like me, or why people are, why this person's not loving me, or this person's this and that. And it takes somebody that has matured or grown past certain places to say, you know, they guide you to yourself, because really nobody else can ever love you, James. There's nobody on this planet that's going to jump into your life and take care of all your emotional needs. It's not possible. The law of consciousness won't allow it. You're going to be empty until you find self. So this is how we discover the parts of ourselves that are really crying for love and attention. So when we get our hearts broken, for example, it's a phenomenal opportunity to experience how empty you are. Because without that other person, you're not happy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And a mentor guides you to these places where you realize, well, you know what, so, we'll say, for example, a relationship or a heartbreak. Mm-hmm. You know, you projected on that person. Well, that person did this to me. That person hurt my feelings. That person left me, and I'm empty now. And what you discover is it's not that person at all. In fact, if you take a spotlight, as I said before, now with a mentor, and you shine that spotlight back into your past, you're going to find other intersections in your life where you felt the exact same way. And like Paul, you know, Paul's theory is always this. You know, if you have high blood pressure, you don't go to the doctor and get high blood pressure medication. You sit down, you figure out how you're eating, how you're thinking, you know, how you're sleeping, and everything about your life, and you change it to a more appropriate pace, and you bring wholeness to yourself. You solve the problem. You don't cover it up. And this is the same thing. So everything happening in your life right now, if right now your neighbor fires up a chainsaw and, you know, does something that totally gets you angry, you're not really angry at him.
Mm-hmm.
You're angry about something that happened a long time ago, and you project it onto him. So a mentor helps guide you back as far as it takes to find the place it started. When did you first realize you weren't enough? Who taught you that you weren't enough to matter? Who taught you you weren't valuable? Who taught you that you had to make yourself bigger so you could be better than other people? And what holds us all back from that growing process is the loyalty to our family. And a lot of people, now I believe a lot of people that come to this program, they're genuinely coming because they're asking for help. You know, you can't walk up to somebody on the street and just offer this information because they don't want to grow. And they're suffering, people that are suffering and don't want help, it's purposeful for them. And it's not our place to say, well, that guy's a jerk because he's not growing. And, you know, we don't know what the purpose is because we don't have any clue what the divine plan is for that person. All we can be focused on is us. And when we get to a place where we just want to be full in our life and happy and whole in ourselves, and we don't want to have to attach to a relationship. I mean, people literally, we're all crazy. We're so needy and so empty, we can't be without relationship. Got to have one. I got to go get a date. I got to have sex. I got to have a girlfriend, or I got to get married. I got to have somebody. I need somebody in my life. When will I meet someone? The number one question I get as a psychic, when will I meet the person? How will I meet them? You know, we're so concerned, and we can't be happy until we find that place. So my point is just that that's why, you know, to find compassion is to first find it with ourselves. And it takes an enormous amount of courage to do that. But until we are willing to uncover the rocks of our past and find all these parts of ourselves, we just distract, and it's just a constant, you know, you're never getting what you deserve. You know, you're just, it's just a different degree of misery. Or, you know, and I'm sure you can relate, you know, I mean, it's it's not hard to have a reaction when you interact with another person. In fact, the workshop I was in, we were learning how to fight fair with each other. We were getting each other angry on purpose.
Yeah.
To uncover the ego parts. And not for nothing. I know this sounds all, I feel like it's coming across quite overwhelming, but you know, it's like the game of life. The only way to really have a good time is not to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
In my opinion. So,
Yeah, well, and I love that attitude, too, because it does. It sort of redirects you to embrace all of the things that are going on, not just the things that are making you happy, which are great, but there's all sorts of things that are going on in life that we need to learn from.
Well, yeah, I mean, and again, it's not like something that happens in a day. And it's something I don't think we ever get done, James. I think it's just a constant awareness. You get better at it.
Sure.
You know, I've grown so much as a result of my reaching out to Paul and, you know, my reaching out to JP when I met JP. And just, you know, I mean, it's just the more you do it and the more you have others who are also working on it help you through the process, life just gets a little easier. You know, I mean, I'm not going to use this call for this, but, you know, I just had an amazing experience in my own life. For 2 years, I've been working to create and to try to make something into something and living in the future. And, you know, the reality was, is it wasn't to be. And it's like, we're always paddling our boats upstream. We're always resisting what is, and we're just never happy. So, you know, the point of the PPS program is to basically try to help people as you know, the rest of us are in here doing the same thing, you included, Paul included, we're all in the trenches, is to get to a place where our mind isn't using us, where our ego parts, we're not constantly reacting at other people, you know. So if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, James, I just, you know, I think that shirt you're wearing adds 20 pounds. You know, you don't get offended. You know, you just say, I guess you're right. Okay, you know, whatever. Just, you know, not to take on people's stuff. But again, the point of the call is to, you know, to understand how to find that place of compassion is to learn how to recognize what's triggering you with another, or in your relationships, or why do you need, you know, what is it in your life that makes you feel whole, and why is that? Because when you uncovering all of that stuff definitely brings you to that place when you can take away all that stuff, you end up with just the essence of who you are. And that's when you know yourself, there's nobody in the whole world like you. You're so unique, so beautiful. I mean, you're not special, but when you know you're the only one, you chose this body, you chose all your attributes to have in this experience, there's nobody to compete with anymore. There's nobody to compare yourself to. It just doesn't matter, you know? And it just feels easier that way, to be in that place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
now, when you're, especially, and for those of you who are with us, I do invite you to join in the conversation, because, of course, I'm fascinated, and I love talking to Chris, so I will certainly ask away, but I invite anybody who's with us to do so as well. So my kind of follow-up question was, you know, you've talked about kind of looking back at your past and trying to find the roots of what it is that's kind of bringing these judgments about yourself and subsequently about other people. And I would imagine that when you start to look back and you really start to get at those roots, because they kind of cause the judgments, it must really bring a lot of judgments up as well. And you know, we call in PBS, we talk about the shadow self, but that must really trigger the shadow self when you're looking at the roots, when you're looking at those real causes. And have you found anything, or do you have any kind of techniques or ways that, you know, you can calm those judgments down? Because having gone through the process myself, I know that those judgments can be very strong and very visceral, and they, you know, once you start to dig them up, they can really kind of permeate your life.
Yeah, I love these questions. Again, that's perfect. That's a great question, and you're right. But under most people, what you just said, when you get to the root of it, it must feel awful. And it's got to just be so and you know what? The reality is, James, is it feels that way. And that's why people don't go there. And if you please let me just share another example, because this is a perfect example for me as a kid. And I had a fear to go back to visit a memory. How can I phrase this? So what happens is when we're children, okay, when we're little kids, an event happens. And for us at the time, it feels awful.
Mm-hmm.
But as an adult, when you go back and experience it again as an adult, from the child's point of view, it's not, a lot of times it isn't nearly as painful as you think, because you're experiencing now from an adult perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer from the child's perspective. For example, when I was a kid, you know, my mother didn't want me, my stepfather beat me terribly, and at 7 years old, I ran away from my mother to come and live with my father. So, I mean, I suffered terrible, terrible beatings, and because of that, I never felt safe at night. So every night, I would climb into bed with my dad so I could sleep, because I was just so frightened and insecure. Well, when I was around 11 years old, I went to go get into my dad's bed, and he told me, "Christine, out, into your own bed." And he never told me why. He just said, "Get out." So at that time in my life, I was so shamed. I was like, I wasn't enough. And, of course, you can imagine that. A single man, a single parent with a daughter, 11 years old, you know, starting to grow up, you know, it's just not appropriate anymore. And he was just simply doing what I believe was just what a single parent would do. But for me, it was devastating. Would you know, I went on into my life as an adult, and I would always attract men that would do the same thing to me, that would create the same experience for me. So even though I was so fearful to go back to discover why that was happening in my life, what I uncovered was so innocent. I was just innocent. It was an innocent situation that was really just smoke and mirrors that kept me from going back there. I mean, that's one example. Now, I also want to validate that yes, there are times, James, and that you go back and it's god awful. I mean, it's you just want to puke. That's how grotesque it is. And a lot of times when that is, that, you know, if you were abused, or even in the situation where, you know, your mother, say, you know, in my case, my mother didn't want me, or even if you had your heart broken, somebody really hurt your feelings, and that could be a parent, a lover, a friend, and you go back to visit that place, and it all comes back, it all floods in those same emotions, and there is a wonderful technique to help you through that. That is amazingly healing. So if you have the courage enough to go to those places, what we do is you can write what we call an angry letter. So you don't actually write it to the person, but say, for example, one of your parents did something that was really just awful, you know, whether it was abuse, sexual abuse, or they totally abandoned you and left the family and never gave any money and you were, you know, they never looked back, kind of a thing. So you write a letter to that person and you express your anger from the deepest core, however you want to do it. You use profanities, you just get it out. You don't actually send the letter. You write it for yourself. So you'll start the letter, "I write this letter to you for me." And then when you get done with it, then you write another letter from that person back to you. And the really interesting thing about the ego is that it can't comprehend, it won't be able to write a false letter back. It won't be able to write a letter back, say, from what that person might actually say. But it will write the letter back to you exactly as it needs to hear it. And that creates an amazing healing. We also you can write forgiveness letters, and I'm sure JP has talked about that technique before. There are also other techniques as well, where you allow that emotion. See, the only way to really heal from the stuff that hurts, James, is to sit in it. Mm-hmm. You have to literally immerse yourself in it, and just until it's diluted. Because the more you push it aside and numb it out and become indifferent, I mean, if somebody really hurts you and you just say, "Oh, well, whatever, yeah, I don't care. You know what, I'm just never going to talk to that person. I'll never see that person again, so I don't care." Mm-hmm. The reality is that you do care. You deeply care. That's called passionate caring, to be that way. And that never heals. That's like covering up a festering wound. I mean, that will stay with that person for the rest of their life, and they will continue to create other relationships with other people that they can say, "You know what, I don't want to see that person either." And before you know it, the rearview mirror of your life is filled with the wreckage of relationships, and you are isolated and you're alone. Yeah. So to just put a happy face on, or a sticker on the back of your car that says, you know, "Always think happy," or whatever, it's a lie. The only way to get happy is to allow your body to express the emotion, to get the emotions out. Because, you know, when you cry about something, and particularly if you write an angry letter to your mother or to a lover, and you sit down and you read that letter in front of a friend, mm-hmm. you have no idea how the emotion, how powerful that is, mm-hmm. because you get to express yourself, mm-hmm. and somebody gets to validate you.
Yeah.
And that awareness heals. As soon as you become aware and you get that out of your body, it heals right there. It's done.
Wow.
You know? And then it becomes a flower. Then you bump into another person that's in that place, and you just have compassion. You know not to save them, because you realized that you got to that place of compassion and security and feeling good in yourself by suffering, because you can only be happy through suffering. You've got to just get it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we need mentors. That's why we need people to hold our hands in the dark, because it's scary. But that's where roots grow. And this is how we uncover who we're not, because we really are, you know, we really are just perfect. We're already everything we're looking for. we don't need to do anything but relax, and life will unfold as it's intended for us. We'll know when to act and when not to act, when we're just still, instead of running around like chickens with our heads cut off, trying to accumulate more money or find more partners, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So those questions were really good. I really appreciate that. I hope that that answered them.
Yeah, it was a wonderful answer. Thank you very much.
Terrific. So, do you have anything else? Anyone have anything? I just love the questions. Uh-huh. You know, the nice thing, the mentoring part, I mean, honest to God, if mentors are offering free calls,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I hope that down the road that people will take advantage of it and use it as an opportunity to to heal or to get something done, you know? Because, you know, for me, it's just, it's so much more enjoyable. As a psychic, questions stimulate things. It's really interesting. But okay, if there aren't any more questions, then I will. Let me just look real quick because I made a bunch of notes about different things. Let's see. I know I talked about the mirrors.
Yeah.
I think I always feel like I cover everything, you know.
Sure.
But let's see. God. What do you think I should revisit? Any suggestions?
I have a question.
Oh, great.
I guess I'm in a place where I don't have a lot of money, and looking towards mentors sometimes costs money. So what do you suggest if you don't have the cash flow for that?
That's a great question, and thanks for asking that. And I will tell you right now that as a mentor, if you need one, you can send me an email, and you and I can work it out between us. I had the pleasure of having the same gift offered to me when I was in that place because, Paul was a luxury for me at the time. But PPS, you know, I was very fortunate because when I started the program, JP was actually my buddy. And I'm not even sure if they give out buddies anymore. So I was very blessed with that. So, you know, if you would be interested in that, I would be more than happy to speak with you and work something out for you. Because everybody, if you really want somebody, you know, then you just have to ask. You
okay,
know?
How do I get a hold of you?
My email is on the PPS site. You can contact me at my email, which is chrispimpert@hotmail.com.
Okay.
James, that information should be on there on the mentoring thing. My phone number and everything. You can, right,
yes.
James? Hey, it's on there, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Telephone
yes.
number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're on the PPS website, and there's a link for PPS mentoring
yeah.
services.
Yep. And I will work it out. Of course, it'll still go through the PPS site. It won't be done it'll be done through that. But you and I can discuss how we can work that out. And then I can work that out with James, right, James?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. But is there anything, since you're on the phone with me now? I mean, we have 15 minutes. Is there anything you'd like to talk? Yeah. What? Can I have your name?
My name's Famita.
Famita. Well, it's very nice to talk with you. Do you have anything you'd like to talk about?
Well, I guess it's just, when you are doing all that searching, you can feel very alone. And I understand what you mean about going and looking for a mentor, and I totally understand that. But at some point, if you don't, you know, I haven't had a mentor, so you look to friends. But you get tired of talking to your friends about your problems.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting your words, how you said, when you're empty. So I'm curious how that feels for you.
Sorry?
Your emptiness, what you just said to me.
Mm-hmm.
So out of what we talked about, though, like, you know, what you were sharing. Now, you're right. You do get to a place. I do respect that. You do get to a place where it gets really hard talking with your friends. I just thought, as the topic we were talking about tonight, you know, everything that I've talked about, I just wanted to address what you just said to me. You were sharing about how empty,
yeah.
how empty you feel. Right. So, I mean, that's just a whole lot of vulnerability right there for you to share that. So I just wanted to honor that you were brave enough to say that about yourself. Do you have any questions about what we were talking about?
No, because I'm just listening and trying to take it in.
Yeah, it's like a lot. I understand. Yeah, but you know what? If it makes you feel any better, I mean, this is what brings us all to this kind of a place. You know, it's that emptiness. And everybody is empty. And it is hard when you're trying to search and find self and, you know, you're trying to do it with your friends. And I guess it gets to a place where you feel like all you're doing is, you know, being frustrated and complaining. But this is the beginning of healing, you know, to get to a place of conflict inside yourself. And actually, if I could invite you to change your words when then just say parts of me are empty. Because conflict is where, that's when miracles happen in a person. When people know everything, they don't grow. They don't need to grow because they already got it all figured out, you know. They know exactly how they're supposed to live their life and exactly how they're supposed to think and who they're supposed to vote for and everything else, so they're all set. But when we get to a place where we don't know anymore and parts of us feel empty and parts of us feel like we need to reach out to somebody else for help, I mean, that's where the courage is, and that's when we really start to grow ourselves. And you know what? It's just a process. It's not something, like I said to James before, you don't arrive there in a day, but when you start entering the process of growing yourself, it just gets a lot easier. To use these tools, like I was saying before about, you know, other people, and like with you in particular, it would be interesting to know, you know, you would start with basically how you experience your friends and things like that, how it makes you feel. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So I don't mean to ramble. I'm kind of in a place I feel like I've covered all my material. James, can you help me out? Anything else I can add? Or
one, I just want to thank you for addressing these topics, because as I said really at the outset, this is this is really the foundational, very important stuff to talk about. And you know, as I work with students and PPS practitioners, I know that these are the kinds of struggles that, as you said, you know, these are very fundamental and very common struggles that a lot of people face when they're trying to live their dreams. And so thank you for taking the time to talk about them. That's very...
Yeah.
Very, very important, and it's very important, you know, to share them in the personal way that you do, because they are so deep.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to offer too that when I talk about how we judge other people, you know, it is perfectly natural, and it's just what we do. We can never get out of that place where we're not judging people. We just get to a place where we're aware of it, And we recognize the parts of ourself, and when that time happens in our lives, that's where compassion is born for others. So you never really get out of it, and it doesn't mean it's a bad thing or a good thing. It's just what we do, and it's just basically getting control of your own emotions and recognizing that nobody can make you angry, nobody can make you happy, nobody's ever going to love you, you know, nobody can. You can only love yourself about another person. So the wholeness has to come by knowing self. And we can't find ourselves by going from one relationship to another. And again, as that young lady was sharing, you know, when even looking for abundance, you know, the reason why we don't find abundance is there's a part of us somewhere that doesn't think we deserve it. There's something running somewhere that says, you know, I can't have that, or I'm not good enough for that. And a lot of times when you can uncover that stuff, you can totally change somebody's life where they start creating abundance just by healing the part in there. Because like we vibrate, like Abraham Hicks has a quote, I guess I can say that on these calls, so normally I wouldn't repeat that, but they'll say things like, you know, don't go back to the past, just their quote is, change your vibration today because your vibration from the past is vibrating right now. So if you just think about the right now, then your vibration will change. But it doesn't work that way because a lot of things that are going on inside us, we're just not aware of. You know, we don't remember. We don't remember that incidence of the maybe Uncle Joe when we were 7 years old telling us, you know what, you're never going to make any money. What are you going to do? And maybe he was just kidding. But as a child, you might hear something like that and go out into your life thinking, I can't make any money. You know what I mean? It's as simple as that. And the hard part's getting past the loyalty of mom and dad and recognizing that nobody did anything wrong when you were a kid. Your parents didn't do anything wrong. It could be just as simple as you overheard something or somebody did something, and as a child, you interpreted it in a way that just caused you to develop a program and have an idea around something. So, and that's not always the case. Sometimes it's serious, but you can see how that can affect you forever. Even the story I shared about, you know, my dad doing that innocent thing. I mean, gosh, you know, it made perfect sense. And isn't it amazing that I could go into my entire adult life attracting that nonsense just because it was a belief I had? So anyway.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to say thank you to Mita for participating too, and that you know, one of the things that I found very valuable that Chris has offered in the past is a lot of different ways that you can express some of the challenges that you're going through, and you know, having friends is always an important you know, component of that. But one of the things that really struck me about the things that Chris did with the program is the variety of ways that she kind of worked with her challenges. You know, Chris has written poetry and created mandalas, and so there's a lot of different ways that you can express your challenges and take on new perspectives of those challenges through, say, artwork or at the beginning of the talk, Chris's teleclass today, she talked about writing these letters. So I don't know, Chris, are there any other ways that you worked with, sort of expressed your those challenges and the feelings and emotions that you were going through apart from, so poetry was a great one, and we put some of your poetry in the fulcrum, I know. What about other way kind of modalities of expression?
Well, there are, well, mandalas, of course, are one of them, as you're well familiar with, and I enjoy deeply doing mandalas. I'm hopeful, I just submitted my thesis to Paul on mandala therapy, basically helping us through our processes, and perhaps if he approves it, maybe he will allow it for the practitioner, you know, the PPS folks to review.
Okay.
But the other pictures that are amazingly helpful are pictures that we draw. For example, we'll draw pictures of what it looked like stick figures of what our family looked like when we were four. You know, and again, when you're with a mentor, and all the mentors in this program are very intuitive. So say, for example, we pick up that you have a wound when you were 4 years old. We'll tell you, we'd like you to draw a picture of your family when you were four. And then we want you to draw a picture of what the family you always wanted when you were four. And maybe we'll have you draw a picture of you and your mom, or just you and your dad. Or we'll say, draw a picture of your four-year-old, draw a picture of your four-year-old drawing a picture of you today. Things like that. And again, it's just stick figures, but you'd be amazed how much healing takes place. There was a woman, you know, that I, one time I was working with, and she had a problem with the like an oral fixation problem, I'll say. And in a lot of her pictures, she was disconnecting the head from the body. And this is somebody who's drawn pictures lots of times, you know. And in this one particular picture, she it was just interesting the way she was able to realize the disconnect, because she kept drawing her mother with her head off her body. And then she would draw herself as a child with her head off her body. And it was like, wow, where do you think you learned that? You know, it was just some place she was able to connect that she inherited the emotional wound from her mom is what it was. And it wasn't her at all. And, so pictures like that are fantastic. And they're easy to draw. And, of course, the letters, like I said, there's also other techniques, things we call miasms, or like the Holy Ark, the seven rays, if you've ever heard of that. There are other ways of helping somebody through muscle testing find, just to be, like if you're with a mentor, to find where the wound is and locate it like in an organ. Like you can first find out if somebody has an emotional wound that's in their liver or in the kidneys or things like that. Mm-hmm. But other than writing and expressing, that's everybody is so unique, in my opinion. And as you start growing, see, for me, James, it was just that's how my personality expressed itself. That was kind of like I became myself in that. Mm-hmm. So somebody else, for example, might start doing it and may start writing music. Maybe they'll start making rock sculptures in their yard. It could be anything, because everybody, there are different ways to express creativity as there are people on this planet. So who knows? I mean, it could be something we've never seen before that a person might start to channel when they start to realize who they really are instead of their parents, you know, the programs that they inherited. So, I mean, it's exciting to watch people grow. I've seen people that actually do soul mandalas, and it's very different than the kind of stuff that you've seen, you know, of my stuff. I mean, Vidya does absolutely gorgeous. Her artwork is fantastic. But you, I don't know, have you ever seen the mandalas that actually look like geometrical pictures?
Yeah.
The real intense kind? Now, I mean, I have never drawn anything like that. So that's what I mean. You just don't know. So I think it's not like it's like shades of gray of all the different things that you talked about.
I guess I would say to Sumita, if you're still with us, is that, you know, what we encourage really, especially with artwork, is that, you know, I always get the left and right side of the brain mixed up. Right, the left side of the brain, right, which is the creative.
No, the left side of the brain is the pain in the neck. So,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. So the right side of the brain, right, which is that artistic one. But it's really invaluable, you know, to engage that side of your brain, because it can express the, you know, the hurts or the emotions in ways that can be very clear but very different than the logical side of the brain, that sometimes, you know, talking it out and talking it through that logical side, it can get a little bit muddled and hard to express. So the artistic, so whatever.
That's,
you know,
right. You don't know what it's going to be. Look at Paul's mother's artwork, sculptures. This thing,
right.
Have you ever seen those that she
They're
does?
They're amazing.
They're beautiful.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's endless what you might find in somebody.
So if you have a way, you know, and I said Chris's poetry is beautiful, and we do all have our own, even if you haven't explored it, your own kind of artistic way of expressing it. So, you know, that's what I would encourage, is to, when you're not feeling like you want to talk with people, but you have, you're really in the grips, you know, that finding the artistic way to express those challenges can be really helpful.
Yeah, and not only that, it's also empowering, because when you do start to create and express yourself, it's usually quite beautiful, and you get to own a piece of yourself, you know, and you don't need anybody to tell you how nice it is, because you'll be able to tell yourself how nice it is, you know?
Yeah.
So you learn how to validate self in your artwork. And I honest to God think your creativity is like just a part of your, I'll call it your higher self, if you will. Your beautiful self that's already perfect, just coming through to show your ego parts, you know, how cool you are, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's exciting stuff, this growing. But it is scary, and it takes a lot of courage. but, you know, like I always say, it takes a strong warrior to realize that true strength is laying your sword down in the grass and surrendering. So
So, if you're still with us, can I invite you maybe to talk about, do you have an artistic way that you like to express yourself?
The only way that I have really explored is through photography.
It's through what? I didn't hear.
Photography.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
that's, see? Now that's, you know, if you've seen Shane McDermott's photographs on the PPS site, you know how powerful photography can be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that's like an art in itself. I mean,
it certainly is, yeah.
Just to understand how to use the camera.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I definitely, you know, if you really resonate to photography, then that can be a great way to explore your emotions, and taking photographs of things that might represent how you're feeling and keeping them. And, you know, I think that could be a very, it's a valuable way of not just getting in touch with yourself, but expressing those things that you're feeling when maybe you're feeling like it's not a right time to talk to your friends.
Yeah. But first, I'm just feeling so much from her already, that she has an enormous amount of creativity. It just needs to be unlocked a little bit. She just needs to be nudged a little bit. How creative she is. Because I'm saying that, but I don't think she's believing it. But I invite you, please contact me. I'm sure that together we'll work out something. It would be a pleasure to offer, you know, whatever I could to help you hear yourself and to be, you know, a guide in whatever way I could. And, you know.
Okay. Thank you. I will.
Yeah, I really appreciate you asking. And thank you very much for speaking out on the call, because I'm not somebody, you know, I can talk fine when I'm in front of a group of people. But when I'm on the phone and there's nobody around, I just have such a hard time just talking to thin air. I really enjoy talking to other people, and when I get asked a question, it just kind of, it's so much easier for me to do these things that way. So I appreciate you being involved.
Okay, thank you.
Well, great. I have 7 o'clock here out on the West Coast, so that was a wonderful hour that we get to share with you, Chris.
Oh, I so appreciate your experience, James. Thank you. And like I said, I appreciate you bearing with me as I try to get better at these and better at expressing myself. And it's a lot of fun learning how to do that. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
You're doing a wonderful job. And one more, actually, it just occurs to me, one more resource I might throw out there, too, is that we have a new program at PPS called Tao to Zen, which is Paul's, what he's calling his spiritual conditioning program. But the program is donation-based. So it's, you know, whatever you are able to contribute. And every week we have a spiritual sutra. It's a little lesson, and every month we have a call, and there's a discussion forum, and so it's a great little way to get some really good lessons on some of the things that we've been talking about today.
Wow, that is good.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And so that we've got it listed right on our homepage. So, yeah. Well, thanks again, Chris. I really appreciate your hosting this, and I know that we're working on our schedule for the fourth quarter. And I'm hoping that you'll offer another one of your teleclasses in this fourth quarter.
Yeah, I got to get out there and start learning some more stuff.
Yeah. Oh, well, great. I'm excited. Fantastic. Well, I know that. I hope that your children haven't destroyed the house too much.
I appreciate it. That's okay. It's just Lincoln Logs and Legos and things like that. So.
Oh, fun.
No worries.
Great. Well, thanks again, Chris, and thanks to Tamita, especially for being brave and talking with us today. And thanks to everybody else who's listening in the wings, and I look forward to our next Mentor Teleclass. It's going to be great.
Okay. Great, great, James.
Thank
you take care. I'll chat with you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
Oh, and one final reminder to everybody that if you are interested in contacting Chris about her mentoring services, that you can do so at our website. That's www.ppssuccess.com, and you can find her profile in the PPS Mentoring Services section once you're there. And she has, as she said, both her email address and her phone number.
Yeah.
So you can contact her that way.
Great.
Well, thanks again, everybody. And we'll be posting our next fourth quarter mentor teleclass schedule soon. And I hope you'll all be there.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Take care. Good night, everybody.
Good night.